Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $10 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. Get cold mountain refreshment delivered straight to your door via Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP.
We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. We're also brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing DFS app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $40,000 with one entry. Head over to StableDuel.com to get started today.
And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app for all of our free picks and podcasts. Hashtag live reads. Let's go. What's up, Nick? How are we doing? Welcome into the Fantasy Hockey Podcast presented by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am your host, Justin Bruni. Jumping the gun a little bit there. How are we doing, Nick?
Doing good, doing good. Finishing up the fantasy hockey season with week 23. Looking like it's going to be another easy win, up 455 to 388. So we're going to finish the year 20-3, it looks like, and be sitting at the seventh seed in the playoffs and actually playing the team, it looks like, that I'm playing this week. So I got a little doubleheader with the team I'm playing. I look forward to that. But in terms of the playoffs, the way our series are shaping out, it looks like I have a decent chance of making a half-decent run here. I like my opponents. I like my matchups. The only one I think that might give me a hard time is old Tom's Top Shelf if I see him in the second round. But outside that, I like my possibilities of going to the finals. But I can never take that for granted, considering last year, a team like you at the 8th seed first rounded me. So anything could happen. Yeah, I look forward to it.
Are you a little nervous this year about that?
I don't think I'm going to get first rounded this year. I think I will see that first place team or you in the finals. But you had a rough week yourself this week, so never know what's going to come.
Yeah, I was playing first place. You were playing seventh. And, you know, a little different narrative there, right? To be honest, I was a little behind this week. I wasn't on my A game. I knew that one way or the other, I was going to finish in the same spot and I'm playing the same person next week. So really wasn't going to matter either way. Really unfortunate since I've scored, you know, like the third most points and the team ahead of me and behind me are, you know, pretty well behind me in total points. So what are you going to do? But I think, I think I'm gonna need a little help to make a run this year. I mean, last year I felt a little bit more confident and that team was in eighth place. I just felt like that team was just scoring. And this team I have this season just been kind of up and down and up and down. And I don't know, hasn't been giving me the confidence. I feel like I'm going to get over the hump this year. So we'll see what happens. We got a couple weeks left, but we're going to the playoffs. Sometimes that's all that matters. All right. So we're going to jump into the waiver wire discussion here, looking at some trending players with low ownership rates. First man up here we have is Gustav Forsling of the Florida Panthers, playing on that top D pairing. Looking really good this week. He has 3 goals in his last 2 games, only 18% rostered. On the season, he averages about, you know, 6 fantasy points per game. So I think this is production that we should be snagging up here, Nick. What do you think?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I caught the game today between the Panthers and the Sabres today in that 5-3 win. We don't have an update on our end, but Forsling did put up 14.5 fantasy points. for an assist, a plus two, five shots on goal, and a couple blocks. So he's looking very, very solid. The Panthers are doing good, and Gustav Forsling's producing at a high rate. Like you said, he's on that first D pair over there in Florida with Mackenzie Weegar. Mm-hmm. And he's also on the penalty kill, and he's one of those guys that's really stepped up to make this Florida back end dangerous, even without the presence of Aaron Ekblad. Guys like Ben Chiarot and Forsling, Gouda stepping up, they're making themselves known in the NHL and making themselves known as contenders. But I look forward to see what he does going down the stretch, and he's definitely someone that I would grab for sure. At only 18% rostered, I see that changing for sure, considering he only has 5 goals in the year. And 3 of them has come within his last 2 games. I think that's going to bring a lot of value to his case. And a plus 32. No, anyone that's a plus 30 in fantasy is someone you should at least take a look at. With this number, his plus minus ownership rate, Gustav Forsling is definitely a home run.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Not really much else to say there. I hit it right on the head with the plus minus rating. That's where I was going to go next. Kind of similar to Anton Lundell. He's got like a plus 34 now, I think, on the season. I think he was a plus 2 today. Looks like he had a good game as well. Forsling had an assist, like you mentioned, plus 2. 5 shots on goal. He's getting the puck to the net with some regularity here. He had 5 shots today. He had 10 in his last 2 games. I mean, albeit, I mean, if you look at these matchups, they're pretty favorable in consider to the Panthers, even though they're, you know, crazy good team this year. The last 3 games, you know, you got the Sabres, the Devils, the Blackhawks, Montreal, right, the game before that, you know, and all these games, he's had at least 3 shots or more. Last 3 at a much higher rate, 5, 6, 4. So I also like that he's contributing blocks pretty consistently here. You know, there's only 1 game out or 2 games in his last 10 where he hasn't recorded a block. And in a lot of these games, he's recording multiple. The right minutes are there. You know, he's not playing, you know, like Matt Dumba minutes, you know, like the 24s and 25s. But these last like 5 or 6 games, he's over 20 minutes per game. And the last couple, he's over 21 minutes per game. So a lot to like here, a lot of availability, which I think we like the most. 18% rostered on Yahoo, only 6% across the last day. I think he's definitely worth a look for a playoff stash here. Very meaningful production. I don't know where it ranks for like all defensemen across the past like month or so, but I can tell you that his production season long, he's averaging 5.96 fantasy points per game. And then the last week, he's up to 11.38. You said he hit 14 fantasy points today?
Yeah, he had 14.5. Yeah, pretty solid game from him.
So that's going to go up even more. He's probably going to be at, you know, 13 or 14 for the last week. He's at 8.98 for the last 2 weeks. So yeah, he's definitely hitting at a much higher rate. His stock is up. Definitely someone you want to go out there and get right now. Next guy up here, we've got Logan Thompson, someone that we referenced last week, and we definitely want to bring him to the forefront of the conversation again because his situation is again changing. While he has won 6 of his last 8 games, Nick, he's also won 4 straight as well. He has Robin Leonard coming back. It looks like he's actually healthy now. Are you still ready to roll full steam ahead with Logan Thompson, or are you a little bit more timid now with Robin Leonard making his way back to the Golden Knights, who are on
It's going to be interesting. I think if you're the Golden Knights with the situation they're in, I think you roll with the hot hand. They're going with Robin Leonard tonight against the Canucks. But I still think, nonetheless, you're going to roll with the hot hand. If Leonard loses, I could see Thompson taking over the starts too. Because this Golden Knights team, like we talked about last week, they need to be playing with a sense of urgency. They're sitting outside of a playoff picture between a couple solid teams in the Pacific and a very, very competitive Central Division. They're going to have their work cut out for them down the stretch, and they're showing that within their last few matchups. And I just think it's interesting as of late, the amount of starts Logan Thompson's gotten. He hasn't gotten a break since, yeah, he
8 straight games here.
Yeah, 8 straight games. It's so
it's more than that. I want to say 10, it's 10 straight games because prior to the, you know, the 6 of the last 8, he had back-to-back losses. So right, he's actually 10 straight starts here. You're saying he gets the break today. I just want to bring that to the forefront of our conversation again, because the 6th and the 9th are the only matchups he has next week in the first round of the playoffs. Is that a concern for you?
Yeah, that's definitely a concern for me. I would personally want to take a look against that. I like the matchups, though. I like Arizona and I like Vancouver, but I don't think it's enough value to be able to hang on to him throughout the playoffs, because I know, like, a team like you who's holding Logan Thompson, you're going to be in a very tight matchup, and you're going to want to make some moves that you don't want to make, but you're going to have to make to be able to get the points. And if it means being able to get those extra points one night to get a goalie game over dropping Logan Thompson, who's only going to start two games, then I would do that 100%. Myself, unfortunately have been out Ilya Sorokin the last week. He could be someone I drop if he's not going to be back by then. So I think you definitely have to play the waiver wire for sure, similar to what I've been doing. You've been doing it throughout the year, and just overall being very, very cautious and looking around at who's starting and what you can get every day to make sure you can get those starts in. But yeah, with Logan Thompson's limited starts, and don't get me wrong, his play as well, but with the limited starts, especially in playoff season, definitely not someone I would grab right now.
Yeah, I'm going to hold on to him. I'm going to see what I can do. I mean, I may very well have to let him go if my roster is blanked, you know, if I'm missing a spot and I need somebody to start, he may get let go. One of the guys that I added today, actually, Jake Allen, we'll get to him a little bit later. He was someone that I grabbed because he has more opportunity this week. He has 5, 7, and 9, so three potential starts coming up. And then I also have Jack Campbell coming back. I'm not sure how many starts I'm going to get out of him this week, but he is set to start, I believe, tomorrow at Tampa Bay. He just has rough matchups, and they're all on the road this week. Right. The 4th at Tampa, the 5th in Florida, 7th at Dallas. They're a lot better right now. The 9th against Montreal at home. I guess that's, you know, nice. Hopefully he starts that game. They'll probably give it to, what's his name, Kalgren or whatever. That
game. Yeah, Kalgren.
Right, exactly. But Logan Thompson, I mean, he's on fire right now. It's a hard to say, like, oh, yeah, go ahead and punt him off your roster, you know, with how well he's been playing. I have to imagine he's, you know, going to get one of these starts, either the second game against Vancouver at home or that really lopsided Arizona game. So still someone that I want to hang on to. He is ranked number 7th for all goaltender production across the last month and number 4 in the last 2 weeks. The whole Robin Leonard situation just really makes it really tough to gauge who's going to be that guy. I'm going to hang on to him because the upside is there, you know, and he's shown it to us. So maybe we get lucky and he, you know, starts both of those games, Vancouver and Arizona. We'll see.
Right.
All right, next up, I've got Eric Halla of the Boston Bruins and Jake DeBrusk, really. They're both 11% rostered, and they're both in a position on the Bruins' top two lines where, you know, production is just kind of falling into their breadbasket with the guys that they're playing alongside. So, like, Eric Halla, he's playing beside, was it Pastrnak and Taylor Hall? Excuse me, I was about to say David Hall for some reason, Taylor Hall. Mm-hmm. And then DeBrusk is playing alongside Bergeron and Brad Marchand. Which one of these guys would you rather have? Both are clicking at a very high rate right now. The Bruins are playing well in general. I think they've only lost like 2 out of their last 10. So they're looking good as an offense entirely. But both of these guys are kind of like the outside man looking in, you know, on their perspective lines. Right. Who would you prefer to have going forward?
Going forward, it's a tough one. But personally, I would go Jake DeBrusk. I ran him myself a little bit throughout the year. He's over on the first line, like we said, with Pastrnak and Marchand breaking out the perfection line in Boston. And then you also have him on the second power play unit with Charlie Coyle as well as Craig Smith. But I just like this move because he's a little bit more reliable for me in the past personally. He has goals in 4 straight games. While Hollis' production is really good, I just personally would take DeBrusk. But what's interesting about both of these guys is they're top 6 players, and you're seeing a lot of games between their game logs where they're logging 12, 13, and 14 minutes. Like, you'd think they would be around that 15, 16, 17 minute mark, but right. I would have to watch more Bruins hockey to be able to gauge that better. And I also think you're going to be able to have a better chance of snagging a guy like Jake DeBrusk. While they're both 11% rostered, Eric Halla is up 6% within the last day. Jake DeBrusk only up 3%. At the end of the day, they're both solid players, both positive players. DeBrusk gets a little bit more shooting going on. But yeah, give me Jake DeBrusk over this one. Definitely a close one, though.
Yeah, I agree with you. Very close. That's exactly where I was going. There's just a little bit more upside with Jake DeBrusk. One, being on that second power play unit. Eric Halla gets no power play time, at least for right now anyways. And then the shooting upside, like, he just gets the puck to the net with more regularity. And I feel like Halla is kind of like the swing man on that second line, whereas DeBrusk is constantly being fed, you know, scoring opportunities from Marchand and Bergeron, because that's kind of their game. They're like a very cycle-oriented group, like when they had Pastrnak up there, like, they're always just moving the puck around, going east and west, north and south, in the offensive zone. So they move the puck around, they whip it around. I think DeBrusk having that little bit of extra shooting upside on that top line gives them just a bit of a slight edge. Hala has the same amount of goals in the last four games. He's coming off of four goals in his last four. It's just that in one of those games, he scored two instead of one each game like DeBrusque. So, you know, either one is a good option, in my opinion. But if you're splitting hairs and you've only got one spot, me and Nick, it looks like we both lean toward DeBrusque here.
Right.
Next up, we've got Rickard Rakell with the Pittsburgh Penguins. We touched on him a little bit prior to his like actual play with the Penguins. He was hurt during the trade. He's finally up and going here. Production has been kind of so-so. What do you think? He's only 24% rostered. Has a couple of goals in his last few games. Is this a value that you're looking for here with the Penguins?
Coming up here down the stretch, he's got a couple matchups here. Or one, two. Yeah, he's got three matchups coming up this week, all against hard teams with the Capitals, the Rangers, and the Colorado Avalanche. But playing on that Pittsburgh second line, I still like him. I think this Penguins team is very underrated when they're fully healthy. When you have Crosby and Malkin, Getzel in the lineup, we got Jason Zucker, who's day-to-day right now. But no, when this team is very healthy and they're going, I think they're a very dangerous team, so I see them doing well in these matchups. In terms of Rickard Rakell, definitely not someone I would stash away completely yet. I would definitely be hesitant towards his production because it's not all that consistent yet. There's not a lot of games where he's just going down a stretch. Just even with Anaheim, he's just not that guy. But he's on the second power play with Jeff Carter and Evan Rodriguez, and he's getting a decent amount of ice time, it looks like 15, 17 minutes a game. Yeah, he's got a couple of games here where he's in the negative, so that also throws a little bit of adversity towards his way in terms of whether I want to get him or not. At the -8.2, not someone I add right now, but definitely someone I put on the radar. Considering he just got traded and only 24% rostered, definitely someone I'm going to look at going forward just to get a couple games going in the next week here.
Yeah, there's probably a handful of guys that I would prioritize over him. You know, all the guys that we've already mentioned, like Forsling, Hala, DeBrusque, I would probably all be looking to pick up before Rakell, even some of the names that we haven't mentioned yet. So, yeah, like he's a candidate, but, you know, I don't think he's really going to be at the top of your list unless you're in a deeper format or just the waiver wire is really, really thin. He is averaging 11.7 fantasy points across the last week, but in the last month, it's only 5.78. So it's been very, very up and down, not a very consistent return that we're getting from Rakell. So he would be at the bottom of my waiver wire list, but definitely not at the top. Worthy of a look, but not an absolute home run to add to your team.
Right.
All right, next up, a name that we've been singing quite a few weeks here, Mason Marchment. What do we think? He's getting added on his ad rate on Yahoo is like really high right now. It says it's only plus two in the last day, but I feel like that's been the case. He's been at the top of the waiver list in the past week very consistently. Production's been so-so. I'm not sure what he did today. You might have that up, but he has points in consecutive games in the last three games. Had a couple of down nights on the 27th and the 26th of March, but again, before that, a stretch of games with points. What do you think here?
Well, to conclude your other thought, Mason Marchment got 6.7 today with an assist and three shots on goal, but he's someone that's been on and off our radar. I know you were a long time holder of Mason Marchment. You dropped him. I got a piece of him for a little bit, and he couldn't click at the rate like he just does for you. I don't know what it is, that coaching over there with your fantasy team. But no, I like Mason Marchment for sure. He's got three matchups this week. He's got the Predators, the Sabres, and the Maple Leafs. So I like those matchups for him. I like him to be able to produce in there with that heavy Florida offense. We talk about how much of a difference he makes, since he's in the bottom six, but he puts up the production of a top six player. It's just this team is so stacked. You got to move guys like him down the lineup because on another team that's not Florida, he's probably a first or second line guy. He's not seen any power play time yet or penalty kill time. So definitely something to consider if you're looking to grab him. But yeah, if his production's there, I say fire up some Mason Marchment because once he starts going, he doesn't stop. And when he doesn't stop, that's a lot of points on the stretch.
Yeah, really tough when they added Claude Giroux. You know, that's definitely going to push him around the lineup. Same thing for the power play. And they actually do have him on the power play. He's at the point. He's on the... So he's lining up on defense on the second power play unit. So they're looking to get him some opportunities to shoot for sure. You know, with that cycling approach with a shooter up top on the power play. So you'd like to see that for sure. you know, it's just not someone that, again, just gives you a ton of confidence. You know, I would have him above, you know, Ricard Raquel, but I would probably also have him behind, you know, like a guy like Halla or DeBrusque or even Forsling right now, just as far as like prioritizing my waivers. It's been good. It hasn't been great, you know. Hat trick, I think, like his first start or something for me, something crazy. 40 something point night.
Yeah, I don't know if those are coming.
Yeah, something crazy. I don't know if those nights are coming back. I'm not betting on them, but right now I do have him. I actually did have him in the lineup today. He did get me that 6.7, so I'll take it. Finished at an even zero, 3 shots on goal, assist. This isn't production I can really hate on, but at the same time, it's not booming. You know, it's
not bringing home the
W. All right. Next up here, we have Ilya Mikheyev of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Only 6% rostered, playing pretty well across the past week and across the past month. Last 2 weeks, he's at 9.22 fantasy points. In the last week, he's at 9.8. And across the month, he's at 7.30. These numbers are all above his season average of 6.7. Maple Leafs are playing a little bit better recently. They've only lost, I think, 2 out of their last 8 here. How are you feeling about Mikheyev?
I don't see any long-term value with him because I feel like when it comes to that Toronto top six, it's like the flavor of the week. Whoever's going to be playing with Tavares, Matthews, Nylander, Bunting, those guys, whoever's going to be playing with them are guys that seem to be able to make their way onto our ad charts. But Toronto is one of those teams that changes up their lineup really fast. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a guy like Mikheyev go down to the third line. Because right now they have their line spread out where they have Nylander on the third line. But it just makes things very tricky in Toronto. They've had they've been playing better for sure. But down the stretch, they've been a little bit shaky as of late. And you just got to wonder with that team if they're going to make a playoff push. But in terms of Mikheyev, I think he's someone that you definitely take a look at, but I don't see any long-term values to say. I like him coming up tomorrow and Tuesday with them having a road trip in Florida where they play the Lightning and the Panthers back-to-back. So I definitely like that. And I do like him this week, but I don't like him down the stretch because he does have 4 matchups this week. So right.
That's what I was going to get to. And he's just been playing better just as of recently, like, you know, 2 goals in his last 4 games. He didn't have a game today. Also has 2 assists in his last 4 games. And he's finishing above water in the plus-minus column. +1, +3, +1 his last 3 games. So he's on the ice when the team is scoring, and the team is scoring quite a bit. 6-5 goals in their last 4 games. So I'll take that opportunity. And like you had mentioned, the upside of having 4 matchups this week, I think there's a little bit of extra value there. So I would say he's a decent add. I would feel more comfortable adding him over Ricard Raquel because the Penguins, while they have been playing well, they don't put up the most consistent offense. They don't get to play the Red Wings every single night. It's not like it's a big wide open opportunity to put up 11 every night.
Right.
All right, cool. We're going to hit a quick word from the sponsors, and when we're back, we're going to hit into some trending players, some in the right direction, most of them not so much, most of them trending down. So we'll be right back after a few words here. Are you looking for Las Vegas-style casino fun in the palm of your hand? Well, look no further than WynnBET, the premier online casino from the 5-star Wynn Resorts properties. From classic table games to all the best slots, thrills, and jackpots, WynnBET has everything you need for the ultimate casino experience. Sign up today and receive a 100% first deposit match up to $1,000. Also, don't forget about the WynnBET Win Hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Time. WynnBET offers better prices on select games during this period. Anyone who has the WynnBET app is alerted right on the hour. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at wynnbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700.
There are never enough things to gamble on, and the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. Best part is now there's a new way to play the ponies, especially if you are brand new to the sport. Check out Stableduel. It's a daily fantasy style app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $40,000 with one entry. Don't know anything about horses? Not to worry. The app gives you clear data on which horses to select to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at stableduel.com. Multiple games are offered each day with free games weekly at the tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables today. Invite your friends to play against you or play against our stables. You can even follow them in the app where we compare our own stats. Download now at StableDuel.com and see how many winners you can pick in your stable. See you in the winner's circle. Play, race, win.
Hashtag live reads. Let's go. All right, and we're back after some good old-fashioned live reads here. We're looking at some trending players. Someone who's trending in the right direction here, Nick, is Jake Allen of the Montreal Canadiens. Across the last 14 days, he is the third best goaltender in all of fantasy, and in the last month, he is number 13. Seems like an easy ad for me. I wouldn't pick him up. I like his matchups this week. He has three potential starts: Ottawa, New Jersey, and Toronto. I'll take the best two out of three there. What do you like here?
Yeah, some of the games he's not playing the best, but the volume of shots he's facing, I think, is making up for that for sure. Where he's seen his last three games, he's seen 37, 40, 39. Toronto, he got the win, saw 49 shots. So I like those numbers. He can get those goals against down a little bit, and I think he'll be able to with these matchups coming up. Then I think he's definitely a for sure add. But right now, I would add him for sure. Like you said, he's going to have three starts this week. He's going to get a lot of games, only 28% rostered and plus one over the last day. Someone you look at for sure. And yeah, after just coming back from injury, he's looking to take that net back over in Montreal.
Yeah, it looks that way. He doesn't have many wins here. I think he's got three out of his last, was that four, seven? Only three wins out of his last seven. But like you said, the saves are there. 37, 40, 39, 49 saves on the 26th up against Toronto. 38, 43, 29, and 31. That's a great value here. A good opportunity to leverage some fantasy production. I mean, the lowest amount of points he's gotten in these starts is 5.4 fantasy points. You know, if you go all the way back to the 17th of March, that's a 6.6. But all these other games, 19.4, 16.8, 10.8, 28.4, 15, 15.2, like, it's pretty solid. I think there's a lot to like here. Definitely someone I'm looking to stash for my playoff roster.
For sure.
What do we think about Nick Schmaltz? He was a name that we were talking about quite a bit in recent episodes. He's still 39% rostered, but he's taken a bit of a cold spell recently. Only has, I believe, two goals in his last eight games. Is this someone that you're still willing to hold on to going into the playoffs?
I don't think so. I don't think I would want to hold on to Nick Schmaltz. Well, he does have a lot of matchups, and he's playing tonight up against Chicago. A lot of these are going to be tricky for them. They got St. Louis, Vancouver, and Vegas. So I don't see that much upside for him. And with his production on a downswing as of late, as well as the Coyotes' record, I don't see a lot of upside for him. Because I know for a while he was, what, he had like 6 points one game, and then he was just going off. And I think it's that was very fluky, and I don't see him really making a big turnaround this week. Especially, it's hard to get around with that, especially the game he played on Friday night against Anaheim. He was a negative four. And so, yeah, right when he's coming off a game like that, it's hard for me to personally want to add someone like that. So I would personally stay away from Nick Schmaltz.
He was a minus four in fantasy. He's a minus three on the ice, but yeah, he did very little, right? Today, he has one shot on goal, and he is a minus one, and they're going up against the Blackhawks. So, I mean, you'd think you'd have a little bit of extra upside.
Right.
Poor Blackhawks team here. Yeah, I mean, it's tough for me to say. I'm with you. I mean, he's minus three in the last day already. People are losing faith. He's playing on a bad team. Coyotes kind of in pack-it-in mode, you know? I didn't realize he only has 94 shots on goal. I guess he must have a really high like goal percentage this season, or shooting percentage. Because there was a while there he was just stuffing the net.
Right.
Yeah, I'd say the hot streak is over. I'd say he's a safe drop at this point, Nick Schmaltz. Speaking of safe drops, what do you think about these two Calgary Flames players? We got Tyler Toffoli and Andrew Mangiapane. Both bit of some downturns here, especially Mangiapane.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting with both of these guys. Both of them are slotted on that Calgary second line with Mangiapane, Toffoli, and Backlund's the line. So you'd think you would see a lot of production out of that line, being Calgary, being a very solid team offensively, defensively. And yeah, I'm just very surprised that this is happening for them. But I think I would give them a couple more games personally. I like the matchups against Anaheim, LA, San Jose, mm-hmm. Seattle. I would give them one or two more games, see if they don't get anything out, and then by then I would give them the boot. But I remember like Mangiapane was one of the better fantasy producers halfway through the year. He was around rank 30 or 40. He's got 30 goals on the year, plus 17. Just not someone that you can hold down the stretch if the production's not there, especially with playoffs.
His production has tanked quite a bit. He's 3.46 fantasy points across the last month on the season, 6.81.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to know the last 2 weeks and the last week. It's really bad.
Yeah, and then in terms of Tyler Toffoli, kind of the same story, except he never really started as hot. He kind of picked it up a little bit when he first got to Calgary. After that, fell back down to earth, a couple good games here and there. No consistency whatsoever, a negative hockey player. Definitely someone I would stay away from for sure, which is unfortunate with Calgary being such a team that is just firing on all cylinders on this as of late.
Let's say you're an owner that's stacked to these two, Toffoli and Mangiapane, and you own both of them. Who would you drop for a more trending player? Who would be cut off your team?
Definitely Toffoli. I don't see a lot of upside with Toffoli. I think Mangiapane still has a little bit of more upside with him. I think it can go either way. I just like their numbers down the stretch. I like that Mangiapane is a plus 17 on the year, while Toffoli is a minus 7. The shots on goal are pretty close, but production-wise, they're both kind of back and forth. But yeah, I would go Mangiapane. And someone I would pick up that you actually just dropped would be Dylan Strome of the Chicago Blackhawks. I've had my eye on him as of late, and I think that's someone that would be a solid ad candidate for that drop. And yeah, Strome's keep around.
Strome's had a couple of bad games.
Yeah, he's got goal today, so he's still on my radar. I almost made a trade to you for him because he was going on that trend where he was just on fire for like a month.
Yeah, he'll cool off again. Mm-hmm. With Mangiapane and Toffoli, I'm opposite. I'm going to hang on to Toffoli. Mangiapane, in the last 2 weeks, 3.1 fantasy points per game. His last 7 days, 1.71. Toffoli, the lowest that he's gotten, his floor is about 4 fantasy points per game. So in the last week, 4.29. The last 14 days, 4.78. He's just someone that I trust that isn't going to bury me on a given night. Mangiapane, he's had some of these games or stretches where he's just gone negative or hasn't really put up a consistent level of points. Not too many games ago, Toffoli still put up double digits, 11.7, 12.9. Mangiapane did have a 12.7 game, was on the 26th, but if you look at the game surrounding that, it's been pretty bleak. Just 2 points, I believe, in his last 10 games. He has not been looking good. So while, he had that really good start to the season, I feel like his numbers are still holding him up from that level. Toffoli, he was with the Canadiens, wasn't he?
He was with the Canadiens and got shipped over.
And they were just hemorrhaging goals for the start of the year, you know what I mean? So that's where that minus seven is really coming in. I mean, he is minus three in his last two games, but if you look at games prior to that, he's either positive or dead even. So I feel like Toffoli, to me, is still the better upside play, but it's just very interesting because they're both literally exactly 62% rostered. So you could really go either direction there.
Mm-hmm.
Next up we have is Jordan Binnington of the St. Louis Blues. May he rest in peace. I don't know why 59% of people still own this guy. It's minus six in the last day. It should be minus 60 in the next day. You know what I'm saying here? Like, this dude's doing nothing. Season long, 9.65 fantasy points per game. What do you think his numbers are the last, we'll say, 2 weeks?
Average. 2 weeks? Average over the games he started?
His fantasy production, what he started in the last 2 weeks, or even the last month?
Over the last month, I'd probably say about 3.7.
That's pretty close. It's pretty close. It's 2.5. In the last 14 days, it's minus 2.7. In the last week, he's only has one start, minus 6.6. Like, obviously, I've been ready to dump Jordan Binnington for anything. A bag of pucks, a bucket of used beer, you know, like I'm mm-hmm. talking like antique beer, you know, you're supposed to, you know, like save, you know,
right.
Not open. Yeah. I'll take Jordan Binnington for that. Anything. I mean, like, I don't know what to say about this guy other than he should have been dropped from your teams a while ago. You should have tried to trade him. Obviously he's a huge asset being on the Blues. If he's their starting goaltender, you would assume that he, you know, he's going to produce for you. But to me, if you ever ask me, you'll always hear it. He just doesn't have the talent. It's just not there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything you can say to salvage Jordan Binnington, or are you right there with me?
No, I think Jordan Shittington's really put up some pretty terrible numbers as of late, like you said. No starts. Vele Husso's really taken over in St. Louis, and he's only going to bring his team down as well as your fantasy team. Definitely someone I would drop for sure. I would rather, quite frankly, I would rather have Henrik Lundqvist on my fantasy team right now over a guy like Jordan Binnington, and Henrik Lundqvist is retired.
Well, he's not getting you negative points.
That's exactly for sure. Right.
So you could also have me on your fantasies. Go out. I wouldn't hurt you either. I wouldn't hurt you either. There's really not much else to say other than he's bad. He's really showing it now. Like, I mean, yeah, there are times where he has these bright spots where, you know, he looks good and he looks like he's going to be your guy, but I've never seen that. I mean, it's just difficult for me to say it with, you know, straight objectivity because I'm a Blackhawks fan. You know, it's really hard to be 1,000% objective on him when I just think he's just garbage. Vlade Husso, I think he's a pretty good goalie. You know, I know that's something that we've talked about earlier in the year. I think there was even a couple of rookies that we talked about, like, oh, you know, they're better than Binnington. They should be starting over him. He's just linked to them. They're paying him a bunch of money. I mean, yeah, he's bad. Last three starts, he's let up at least 4 goals in those games. In the last one, he only had 9 saves. So he faced, 13 shots and let in 4 goals. Like, come on.
Right.
He's donezo. 59% of you need help. And that's why we're here. Let go. Say goodbye.
The autographers out there.
Rip the name off the back of the jersey. He's bad. Like, just let it go. This next guy, he's not great, but he's probably going to get you like 8 to 10 fantasy points, most likely. Mike Smith of the Edmonton Oilers, like, he's not very good. He's let up 9 goals in his last 2 games and his last 2 starts. He still has 9 fantasy points, 9.8 fantasy points in those 2 games combined. Not the greatest sample pieces here. He did have a win on the 24th up against San Jose, 2 goals against, had a win. He has 3 wins out of his last 5 starts. I mean, is this worth anything here? Or are you more of a hard pass or drop on Mike Smith?
I'm definitely a drop. And to tell you the truth, I think the goaltending situation at Edmonton is a straight dumpster fire. I think they really
are. They going to fall out of playoff contention?
I don't think they'll fall out of playoff contention, but I definitely think it's going to raise a lot of questions of which guy they're actually going to go with for the playoffs. They've got Smith, who's been 8 wins on the year, an .894 and a .349 goals against average. Had a couple not so great starts, but he's just someone I don't see a lot of value in. On the other hand, Mikko Koskinen is very come and go. He gets a lot of he'll get a couple solid games going. He'll have a couple games off. He got a couple wins, Koskinen, up against LA and Arizona, but then before that, he was a -10 and then only put up 1.8 before that. And so it's just very tricky to see who's actually going to start. Just so much inconsistency in Edmonton. I would definitely stay away from Mike Smith, but I don't think they fall out of playoff contention just yet. Let me pull up the standings really quick. I mean,
they're like right there. I want to say that like Nashville or Dallas could go over the top of them, and that's assuming that Vegas would also go over them.
Yeah, it's definitely possible with the high production that all these teams are having, but I mean, I still see Edmonton making the playoffs, and if they don't, oh my, I would love to see their offseason if they miss the playoffs, even if they're going to get first rounded again. Like, something's got to change over there in that organization. Like, you can't just center it McDavid and Draisaitl heavy, because when it comes to the playoffs, teams know how to defend that. But back to the goaltending discussion, I definitely would stay away from Mike Smith. And I would also stay away from Koskinen personally, unless you really, really are dying for a game one day and you really need someone. But yeah, definitely stay away from those two.
I like the matchups up against San Jose and LA. I would take either one of those. But yeah, I think there's other goalies out there that you can target.
Simple as
just
that.
Just not Jordan Binnington. Mm-hmm. Just not Jordan Binnington. Right. All right, next up we have Andrej Palat, Tampa Bay Lightning, 64% rostered. It's not his season, and I don't know why he holds such a high ownership rate. He is a very easy drop for me. If you own him, feel free to let him go. Any disagreement here, Nick? I mean, there's literally nothing to see here.
What disappoints me is that Palat has been on the top six all year in that Tampa Bay organization, and he hasn't done anything in that top six. But when you have a pretty strong bottom six, or at least third line, that of guys that can easily play in that role, like a Nick Paul, a Ross Colton, a Brandon Hagel, Chicago Proud, Brandon Hagel should be in.
I like those third line players, but I don't like that third line. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I agree with you. Like I think that Palat should be down there. Maybe even Alex Killorn. I feel like that's kind of doing a disservice to Anthony Cirelli, who, to be perfectly honest, like I just wouldn't mind swapping for Steven Stamkos. Like bring Stamkos down the lineup, make him play a little bit more accountable up the middle. Because man, Sorelli's getting burned on that second line playing with Alex Killorn and Palat. Like Killorn's not bad, but he's kind of like that big body in front of the net, and Palat's your shooter, and Sorelli's kind of like your, you know, your hands, your cycle guy. You know, swinging it around everybody looking for open looks. And he can score, you know, like, so I feel like it's doing a disservice to him having those three players just sitting on the third line when they could be swapping out that top six with some lower trending players like Killorn and Palat. It's really frustrating.
Yeah. And I would love if they had that second line of Hagel, Colton, and Cirelli. I think that would be a very solid second line. And I think they would match up very well because, like you said, Killorn is more of a big body. And Palat is just more of kind of your shooter. So you kind of have an F1, F2, F3 situation. Like when back in the day when you were my coach and we would draw up the forecheck. And F1, as you know, is the guy that's going to go for the puck all the time. The one that's going to set up the play. That's
down
Anthony
the barrel.
Cirelli. Down the barrel. F2 being the guy like Killorn who's going to set the play up or is going to kind of contribute to the puck, not completely get in there, but he's going to be a body to offer support. F3 being that Palat that gets to the front of the net.
It's a full side option.
Gets to the front of the net, gets that shot. And so I think that would be more useful, that style of play on a different line. And I think Cirelli having to run around and chase everybody by himself, I think is a disservice to him, like you said. So yeah, definitely stay away from Andrej Palat. And definitely stay away from that Tampa Bay second line.
I'll take Cirelli. It's just, and I've even grabbed Killorn, I think, a few starts this week. Just you never really get what you think you're going to, you know, getting you know, top six forward from the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, you hear Tampa and you're like, yeah, let me grab that. Same thing with like Calgary. You hear the team name and you hear all this name brand values we talked about in the past, but it just doesn't amount to anything.
Well, when I think of Calgary, I think of like defense. So I'm thinking like unders, you know, I'm fading like people on their shots on goal and stuff like that. Or I'm looking at like Markstrom saves or something like that, you know, just because I know how reliable they're going to be on the back end. All right, last up here we have is Logan Couture of the San Jose Sharks, still 56% rostered. You know, he's scoring a goal like one out of every five games here. To me, it's just not enough. Despite having 22 goals and 26 assists this season, I mean, if your name isn't Timo Meier, I don't know if I want you, you know, if you're on the San Jose Sharks. So I'm going to say hard pass for Logan Couture and say that he's a safe drop candidate at this time.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think Couture showed a lot of potential at the beginning of the year. But again, his numbers are inconsistent. The Sharks team is inconsistent. Like you talk about, he's firing at maybe getting one every five games. But and if you could read that, and you get him in that fifth game, definitely someone you should look to pick up. But outside of that fifth game, I don't see any upside for Logan Couture. The San Jose team is struggling. They're in a rebuild. Couture, he's aging. Not a lot of upside for him. So I would definitely stay away from a guy like Logan Couture.
Has a nice matchup on the fifth up against Edmonton, but then has a home game up against Calgary. Don't love to see that. And then Vancouver on the ninth. Only three starts this upcoming week. He hasn't been very good. I could see him literally throwing up duds in every one of these next coming matchups here. So for me, he's a safe drop candidate. I'm sure there's someone on your waiver wire that's going to be a little bit more trustworthy or is showing, you know, their trends are more positive and should be valued over Logan Couture's potential production.
Right. I was actually just reading his news thing over here, and it said he had a lung injury.
That's not great. It's not ideal.
Yeah, you don't see that too often.
Yeah, I guess not. Mm-hmm. All right, sounds good. We're going to head out. Do you have anything to share, Nick, before we end the show?
Yeah, check me out on Twitter, Face Off with OZ, talk fantasy hockey, sports betting, anything hockey, over at Face Off with OZ.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at TITTHJB, and be sure to follow the Sports Gambling Podcast Network at SGP, at gamblingpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. Sorry, reading the wrong sheet there, at gamblingpodcast.com.